Hey everyone, I'm Chris Hadley and welcome once again to the Viewfinder Podcast. This week's guests, filmmakers and podcasters Logan Austin and Dustin Bergman of Crazy Ant Media, are using the power of cinematic storytelling to fight back against hate, violence, and suicide through their directorial debut, the suspenseful yet timely new short film, Deadlines. The film takes place during the immediate aftermath of a school shooting, where a bitter argument between two young women, played by Jessica Mia Polito and Cara Burns, rapidly becomes an urgent matter of life and death for them both. Logan and Dustin hope that this important project will spark much-needed conversation among audiences about the ongoing problems of bigotry, gun violence, bullying, and suicide in our society, and most of all, conversations about finding effective solutions to combat these problems. As I mentioned moments ago, Logan and Dustin are also veteran podcasters, with their show Inside the Crazy Ant Farm keeping listeners and viewers up to date on the latest Hollywood headlines while presenting great interviews with top talent from around the entertainment world. Links to watch and listen to the show are included in this week's show notes. I'm honored to have Logan and Dustin join me now not just to talk about their podcasting work, but also their first movie-making project in Deadlines on this edition of the Viewfinder Podcast. Logan, Dustin, thank you so much for coming on the Viewfinder Podcast today to talk about your new film, Deadlines. First of all, when and where will Deadlines debut, and are there any festival screenings planned for the film? And after those screenings are done, when will it debut online, and where can people go to watch it? Logan, you want to start first?
Oh yeah, man. I mean, we have a whole lot of things in the pipeline for it to, you know, be seen by mass audiences of people. We're really hoping to, or we are going to put it on Amazon Prime as soon as possible. We are definitely going to reach out to the other streamers, have to go through, you know, the proper avenues and get it on as many places as possible because we want everybody to see this thing.
And we absolutely intend on submitting it to a whole lot of film festivals. I mean, the goal from the get-go when we first decided to make this one, we knew right away it was going to run the festival circuit because that's where it gets the most exposure as a short film. So,
what is Deadlines about and what inspired you guys to make the film?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we came across the script, it was a little bit different than the film that we shot. But we knew that it had a lot of potential. So it's basically the script that we optioned was a college campus shooting, just another, you know, guy that had kind of gone nuts and shot up the campus. And but we saw more to it than that. And we knew that we could kind of take this script if we could get it optioned, which we were able to do. And the writer, James Brandon, was just phenomenal in the sense that he let us change whatever we wanted to change in the script. So we knew with what was going on in society, with especially right after COVID, we optioned this thing right literally about a week before the whole shutdown with COVID and the Asian hate that was taking place in the country for blaming basically Asians for the virus on top of the bigotry that's going on in the country anyway, and the LGBTQ community and the hate there, and then mental health and gun violence. And we knew that we could take this story and touch on all of those subjects. So very early on in the casting process, we decided to make a change to make both leads female instead of a male and a female. And then we decided very early on to make it biracial because we wanted to touch on the Asian hate that was going on. So short story, it's a film about a college couple that was very happy and in love and living the dream, you know, going to school and just doing everything right, and became the victims of bullying and hate and torment. And one of them didn't go very well. One started to regress and deeply turn inward and start to spiral downward with the mental health and felt trapped and alone. And our film picks up there and where this couple is now and what's going on with that. And so the film is meant to start a discussion on those topics and get people to realize that there are a whole lot of warning signs that people miss far before someone gets to that point that our character is in our film. And that's really the conversation we want to start with this.
As a society, we continue to deal with and struggle with the epidemic of hate.
Mm-hmm.
If at all, have your personal experiences with this epidemic and the ways that we see it affect everyday life in America and around the world, both publicly and privately, inspire the idea and the characters for Deadline?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we see hate every day, whether it's about, you know, who people love or what color everybody's skin is. I personally have a brother who is biracial. He is half African American and half white. And it terrifies me for him to grow up in a society where, you know, he could possibly get pulled over. And if he's not doing the proper things, that might be the last time I see him. So this story really spoke to me in a sense to where, you know, we are all just one human race who just needs to have conversations and needs to, you know, continue moving forward and not backtrack. Because I feel like a lot of times when things like this come out, when situations like this happen in everyday life, we backtrack as a society. We don't continue moving forward with peace and love and happiness, we turn to anger and hate and violence. So I think that's why this story is so important, so we can have those conversations and respect each other's opinions so that we can continue moving forward with love and not hate.
And I'll tell you, Chris, we actually experienced some hate during the crew process of trying to hire crew. A lot of people came at us not so nice because of the subject matter and the content of the film. There were some people that shot back when they got the, you know, they wanted to be hired onto the film. They were excited. And then they got the script and came at us with a lot of hate and called us all kinds of nasty things because of the content of the film. And so we experienced that during the process of even trying to get it made. So it really says a lot about where we're at in society.
That's horrible. And it's more evidence that people are just letting their emotions get the better of them. They're letting their prejudice get the better of them and not understanding that people are different, that no two people are alike. And that's really, I think, if we don't get it under control, that's really going to be the downfall of this society.
Absolutely.
How did making this film together impact you, not just as filmmakers, but also as people?
And I mean, honestly, with this one, it made me realize and it made me get exposed to so many different things, and especially in the sense to where we have a platform and we have a voice and we have the necessary means to start this conversation. I think that's what really opened my eyes about society and during making this film, and especially with the diverse cast and the crew that come from all different walks of life. So it really just made me want to start having, you know, open dialogue with everyone I come across, just to continue to narrow the gap to where we can all say we are one. We are not, you know, opposite of each other. We are all one person with our own opinions, but we continue moving forward in the conversation.
And the onset experience was very much like that. It was a group of diverse people with a lot of different opinions and coming from a lot of different backgrounds, and yet gelled together like we had been a family for years. And we're talking and the subject matter, we talked about the subject matter, obviously, because it was intense on some of the day's shooting, and, you know, and we get into the conversations about the material. And it was a beautiful thing hearing all these stories and all these backgrounds from the people that were working on this film and their, how they related to the subject matter and things that they had gone through. And a beautiful story that was shared with us afterwards by one of our crew members who had been going through a very dark time in his life mentally, was not at a good place and had all but given up on life. And because of this project and coming on board with us and working on this film, drastically turned that around and showed him some light again and said that everything is going to be okay and that there's still people that care. And really just kind of changed the trajectory of his life and to know that we were able to do something like that for somebody, and to know that not just our work experience on the film, but that the message of the film can have that impact on people, was something really special that I think working on it together, it was unbelievable. It was amazing.
Yeah, it definitely is. What lessons did you personally take away from making Deadlines? What can audiences get from seeing the film, and how will it help them to understand the devastation that hate causes in our world?
Well, you know, hopefully a lot of people do watch the news. And I mean, it's very divided in the country. I could say that it's very divided about, you know, all of the different subject matters, especially the stuff that is involved in this film. But hopefully people can just take away that a lot of people are in dark places, and you don't know where other people are coming from, and you don't know other people's thought process. So it's good to talk to a stranger every now and then, just ask them how their day's going, give them a compliment, just give along the little pieces. It's the little things that add up in people's life to help them continue moving forward. Like if somebody is having a really bad day, and then you just compliment them on their smile or the color of their eyes or just something along those lines, it might brighten up their day. It might make their whole week. Who knows? So I think just the opportunity to show people, it helps society just to be kind to one another. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's very important that I hope a lot of people take away from this film.
And I think the one thing that I'd like to see people take away from this film, and a few people that have seen the film that are these girls' ages,
yeah,
of the people in our film, they connected very heavily to these characters. And so I think the one thing that I would like to see most people take away from this film is that you are not alone. If you are going through something, you are not alone. There are people out there going through it with you and that are there for you and have been there for that struggle. And if we can show people that it's okay to not be okay, and that there are other people out there, I think that's important to be able to do. And I hope that a lot of people watching this film that might be going through a tough time can take that message from it, that they're not alone.
The two actors, Cara Burns and Jessica Mia Polito, are outstanding in this film. Talk about how their characters represent both love and hate through the relationship we see in Deadlines, and how they each serve to represent the real life consequences.
I'll tell you what. Thank you, first of all, for acknowledging their immense talent, because they absolutely blew us away from the audition process all the way through the end of wrapping up production. They were just unbelievable. They were courageous. They were not scared to step into the subject matter. We want to, of course, point out to anybody that's unaware, these are not two gay individuals. They are two straight women who were courageous enough to take on these roles and not be scared to deal with the subject matter, because they themselves could be victims of this type bullying for this type role. So we just commend them very much for that. I think what they brought to these characters, and coming from their own experiences, is the how the world views them. You know, they came in with, and I'm sure Jessica can speak to this more so, but at that time that we were shooting, Asians were not very popular, and they were taking a lot of beating and a lot of hatred. And couple that with, hey, I'm also in a relationship with a woman, and that people aren't so cool with that. And I think they got to experience a little bit of that. Some of the behind the scenes stuff, we had the girls out together as a couple on date day, taking pictures and things for the film behind the scenes. And they literally got to walk into the world of what this couple would be going through out on the streets on a date. And they brought that experience on set when they started filming. And I think the way that these two bonded, you could tell that there was a chemistry there. And that, you know, certain moments on set, the love was real, the hate was real. You know, they were tense shooting days. And I think that opportunity for them to be out together and kind of experience that real world of what it's like to be that couple, helped play heavily into what you see in the film.
Deadlines is shot in black and white, which makes the dramatic action and character relationships we see in the film all the more stark. What influenced that particular aesthetic choice, and how does it work to visually reinforce the message that you're trying to send to audiences through this film?
Well, I got to tell you, Chris, we are fans, first and foremost. We love every single, well, I should say most films that are out there, definitely critical acclaimed ones. Something that, one that we definitely went back and watched quite a few times is, and to try to emulate the emotion, I guess you could say, is 12 Angry Men, the original one with Mr. Fonda himself. But we went back to that film and saw the power dynamic between each juror that was on that particular trial. And we saw all of the emotions that they had coming out of it. You had someone who, you know, just wanted the trial to be over. You had someone who had a little bit of a bias against the defendant. Or, and then we had someone who, you know, they wanted to learn more about every particular piece of evidence so that they could continue forward and overall make their assumption of what it was. So I think 12 Angry Men definitely helped us in the emotional aspect and the cinematography aspect to bring all these different angles in. It definitely played a heavy role in our part of our filmmaking creativeness, I guess you could say.
And for sure, the black and white also is a representation of the country.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground anymore. It's either black or white. There's no gray area anymore. You're either starkly to the left or starkly to the right. You're either for or against, and nobody meets in the middle anymore. And I think that the black and white is a strong representation of that. And that message that we were trying to send in the film, that that's how the country is right now, is very divided one way or the other.
And you guys nailed it perfectly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Besides that visual style, what were some of the other notable elements of Deadline's production, and how did the filming process work out for it?
Well, I'll tell you another thing that we took some old school tricks, and you can tell us if it worked for you or not, is we were very specific with the way that we shot the film to have the audience, without even realizing it, go through the tension and the emotion that the actors were feeling by having the room close in while you're watching the film. So if you felt that, then good, it worked. But it's a very subliminal trick with the camera to make the audience feel like the room is closing in on them, and they feel that pressure and that tension and that emotion that the characters are in the film. And that was done very specifically with shots. So that was a fun little trick that we did and subliminally played on the audience.
Yeah, and definitely with set dressing as well. We tried to add in a whole bunch of different stuff that was in the dorm room that, you know, could also balance happiness and darkness. Mm-hmm. So if you've noticed, there is a specific part, two specific scenes in the film that you should see a little tiny Hollywood sign that shows dreams, that shows aspiration, that shows the future. But then you see a poster that's a skeleton. It looks like smoking a cigarette. That shows, you know, dark times, that shows depression, that shows, you know, all these different mental health struggles. So we tried to show the balance of basically what a single person could be going through every day. And I mean, you know, trying to, because normally I feel like a person keeps a dorm room, or at least their room, well-kept. I know we do. We're very particular about our thing. But, you know, if someone who is living in filth, it seems like they don't really care about their life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, I will admit to you that I really did not notice all that, because it was so enthralled by the performances of the actors in the film. They were terrific.
Well, and that, good, because that's the point. You're not supposed to notice it. if you're paying attention to that, and then not the story and the actors, then yeah, we did something wrong. So we're glad.
Now, you were both filmmakers and podcasters, having interviewed many of your peers for the Crazy Ant podcast that you do. and Deadlines was made by your film production offshoot, Crazy Ant Media. Are there any specific people whose work you admire? Do they influence your creative approach to filmmaking? And how, if at all, have they inspired you to create not just Deadlines and your future projects, but also your pursuit of career in the filmmaking world?
Oh man, we could give you a long, long list, and both of us would have like similar people on each of our lists and then vastly different people on our list. Well, let's just talk about the podcast, Inside the Crazy Ant Farm. It's been an amazing tool to help us gain connections in the entertainment industry, which is kind of what it was started for, and then to give us publicity. But then as we progressed with that, and as we got into more and more episodes, we realized that the podcast is a great way to help up-and-comers try to break into the entertainment industry, whether that be with our industry news segment, where people can catch up with all the Hollywood news, what actors attached to what project, whether it be film and television, or all these different business deals that are going down, you know, like with Warner Brothers right now, Warner Brothers Discovery and Disney, Bob Chapek not doing so well. Right. But then we started to gain all of this knowledge from our interview segments, from the different guests that come on. We've had some amazing people come on the show, like legendary actors, Ed Asner, William Daniels, aka Mr. Feeney. Yeah. And we have amazing like Emmy winners, Danny Strong, who created Dope.
That was a great show, by the way.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
He is definitely on the influencer list.
Yeah.
He, as far as character development and dialogue and like how to approach that in directing, huge influence for me. He's just one of my favorites. And he's a brilliant guy.
So. Yeah. And I mean, to be honest, the number one filmmaker for me, and he's probably my all-time favorite idol that's in the entertainment world, and that is Kevin Smith. From this certain project and all of his projects, they may not be similar, but I guess, you know, his indie filmmaking mind with his mainstream success is what I aspire to be, you know, to keep that creativity flowing throughout our careers, but to also have, you know, the availability to possibly have bigger budgets to bring more creativity and more people on so we can continue this learning process and continue this teaching process, because we also love teaching individuals as well.
And I have to say too, that we've been extremely blessed because the connections that we've made and the friendships that we've made with a lot of our guests on the podcast, you know, they highly influenced our belief that you can do this. Yeah. You can go after your dreams and succeed if you work hard and you do it and you go for it. And their belief in us and you know, and bringing that out and saying, yes, you can, was huge in us being able to accomplish what we accomplished. Because, you know, that kind of support, you know, from people who have done it and that are there and established means the world to people trying to get into it, to know that you can do it. In fact, we even had several people help us with the film. So, you know, that's forever grateful for that. But it's been an absolute blessing. And, you know, we're thankful every day for the people that have been a part of our lives and come into it and share in this incredible accomplishment.
What's the main mission of Crazy Ant Media? And how are projects like Deadlines helping to further that mission?
Oh, man. Well, we told you at the very beginning, I think it might have been before we started recording, but it's all about starting a conversation. Mm. It's about, you know, having people be comfortable with being uncomfortable. That is one of our main missions. But we also want to be vastly different. We don't want to just stick to one genre. We want to dabble on a little bit of everything. We want to have other creators come with us and build their careers with us. We think that is very important. We always say our mantra is bigger than the mouse. So we are shooting for the stars and one day going to be bigger than Disney. Put that in writing right there.
That's right.
But you know, we are definitely here, and we are definitely here to tell an important story and to have, you know, family, friends, just everybody enjoy our content, and to step away from our content and have conversations, because there's always going to be deeper meanings, no matter what genre.
And I think to inspire.
Yeah.
Because we are living proof that you can do it. We came from nowhere, you know, in a small little city that nobody's ever even really heard of unless you're down there, to going out to LA and now to having a red carpet premiere of our film up on the big screen. And so for anybody out there who thinks that you have to be in LA or you have to be in New York or you have to be, you know, wherever, you don't. And you don't have to have connections or you don't have to have a lot of money. If you have a passion and you have a dream and you're willing to work for it, you can do it. And we hope with Crazy Ant that we can inspire people to do just that, like we've done.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like the main thing that separates successful people from unsuccessful people is not giving up. You just can never give up. There's going to be hurdles. There's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be things that throw you off that path. And sometimes that's like 20 years off that path. But, you know, there's always someone or something that puts you back on. And that's your destiny. That's what you're meant to do. And so we are living proof of that.
Yeah. This first film was a 6-year journey to get it to the screen.
Literally.
So, you know, you just got to stick with it and go for it and not give up on yourself. And it will happen.
Yeah. Because, I mean, various different projects and various different other creatives that we could have done and we could have moved forward, but it just wasn't the right time for those. It wasn't the right time for them. So it wasn't until we found a great script that we believed in about a year and a half ago, and we started putting all of our time and effort into. And that's what made us to what we are today. And we saw that once we put our mind to something and once we stick to it, that's when things start to get accomplished.
What are some of the other projects you've got in the pipeline at Crazy Ant Media, and where are you guys located?
Woo! Well, okay, so right now we are currently in North Carolina. We got locked down here during COVID. We had family here, and so that kind of put us here. So that's where we're currently located at. As far as projects in the pipeline, oh boy, do we have some really good stuff coming up. We've got a feature-length comedy that we are currently working on. We have got a hour-long drama series that we are currently writing. We're revising the pilot episode now, and we've got 4 episodes of that written. We've got a fantastic animated comedy series, half-hour animated comedy series that we're currently writing. Yeah, just a lot of great content and coming in the pipeline and trying to work all of it in. And then, of course, obviously continuing to do what we do and love the podcast. So a lot going on.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we literally have this Google document where we share different ideas and we have things just written down, whether it's a paragraph, whether it's a sentence, but we have all of these different ideas that we have plenty of stuff to work on in the future.
You guys are definitely busy, and that's great. How do you guys manage to balance the creative aspects of your work with the podcasting?
Oh man, it's definitely hard. We've definitely had many conversations and many, you know, butting head moments over it.
Delana.
Yes. We now have a social media manager and also a podcast producer, Jason, who has been helping us out immensely because social media used to be really big for us. But once we brought her on board for social media, Delana has just been killing it. And once we brought Jason on board to fill out our rundown every week for the podcast and come up with different ideas for it, that has been very helpful and has us been able to focus more on the actual projects for the company. Because like we said earlier, we have big dreams and aspirations for the company. And so we're just building, man. That's all we can do. And it's been fun, though. We basically give 110% throughout the week to the projects and to the company. And then one day a week out of everything else, we just dedicate to the podcast and have a little fun, talk about industry news, because like I said at the beginning, we're fans. We just love the entertainment industry. So we just love talking about it. It's more of like a quality pastime rather than something that we need to do.
What do you have in terms of advice for people who are not just trying to multitask and balance different responsibilities in their lives, you know, just between like day job and creative, but also just, I mean, I guess, you know, just trying to pursue the creative life overall.
Don't lose yourself. That focus on you, because if you, mental health is such a huge priority in this industry, especially because it is built on a lot of, we don't like to call it rejection, but you are passed on a lot in this industry for whatever reason. And you, that can be pretty tough. And make time for yourself. Don't become so consumed that you forget about you. That's very important. And both of us had to learn to balance that. You know, you feel like you're not doing enough, but you need that time for yourself. And it's okay to take a day. It's okay to take a time away. So for me, that would be the biggest advice for anybody trying to get in this industry or just life in general for whatever you're trying to do. You can't be okay for everybody else if you're not okay for you. And don't forget that, you know, you are the priority and then you worry about what you can do for others. But if you're not healthy, you can't be healthy for others.
Yes. And don't let life pass you by. Like you said, definitely take time out for yourself, but definitely take time out for your family too. So you can make those memories, take time out for your friends so you can get away from it all. Just, you know, it's a good mental health check-in. And for me personally, what I've had to learn over the last 5 or 6 years is being a perfectionist is not necessarily the best, effect or best, character aspect to have about yourself. Everything's not going to be perfect. Everything's not going to be right on time where it's supposed to be. Just be okay with the learning process. That's what it's all about. Be okay with, you know, just figuring everything out while you go, because you're not going to know everything. You're never going to know everything. So just keep learning. And it's not always going to be perfect, but it's going to be better than yesterday. So that's what it's all about.
And you said, you know, the everything's not going to always be right. Failure is necessary for success.
Yeah.
You have to go through failure to understand how to succeed. So don't be defeated if something doesn't work right away. Don't be defeated if something has to be discarded. It's okay. You take that, you learn from it, and you move on, and you carry that to the next step. And eventually it will work and you will get there. But understand that is the process and failure is okay.
And finally, given the important and incredibly relevant subject matter of deadlines, what are your hopes for the film's success, specifically when it comes to what you want audiences to take away from watching it and to helping them overcome whatever prejudices they may have towards certain groups of people, individuals, or even themselves?
Personally, I want everyone to watch it with multiple different parties and to start conversations. Like we've been talking about the whole interview, the conversation is necessary about many different aspects of this film, whether it be the LGBTQ plus community, whether it be the gun violence, whether it be, you know, bullying, all of these different things. So that's why I think it's very important for a single person to watch it with multiple different groups or different people, so that they can have these different conversations, because not everybody's opinion's the same. And it'll just broaden your horizons. I think that's the biggest thing. And we're, like I said at the very beginning, we're super excited to submit it to film festivals. We have really high hopes for it because it has an important story. It looks beautiful, in our opinion. I mean, you know how that goes. of course, you know, it's all about bringing people closer together and not tearing people apart.
Because the main word there is discussion. We want an open dialogue. If you watch this film and you can start an open dialogue, you'll realize that we're not black and white. We do. I think when people sit down and they finally talk instead of shout at each other or just refuse to acknowledge each other, when you sit down, you have a conversation, an open dialogue, you realize that we have far more in common than we do apart. And that's what we're hoping that we can do with this film, is to start that dialogue and for different people from different backgrounds and different genres and different races to watch this film, like Logan said, together and realize that they're more in common than they are apart. And we hope that we can do that with this film.
Well, you definitely have, in my opinion. And to add to that, I think if we as people, as a society, can just get to the point where we can at least agree to disagree.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be accomplishing a whole lot.
Agreed. Because, I mean, then it'd be respectful. I mean, you know, sometimes conversations get heated, but I feel like it gets to a point where everybody feels like they're personally attacked. And that's just not always the case about some situations. So it's very important just to, like you said, agree to disagree. I think that's very important that over the last 20 years that society in general has just strayed away from.
But we do want to say this, though, for everybody listening. The film is entertaining as hell, and it's got a really cool twist ending that you don't see coming. So, because that's the way to start these conversations, is by having some fun content to watch. It is a movie, after all. We want you to enjoy the movie. So
it is entertaining, but at the same time, as you guys say, it is extremely thought-provoking and will definitely generate a lot of conversations among people, regardless of their backgrounds or who they are.
For sure.
Logan, Dustin, thank you so much for coming on the Viewfinder podcast today to talk about Deadlines and all the great work that you're doing with Crazy Ant Media, not just for your podcast, but also for your filmmaking work. It's amazing, and I wish you all the very best of everything with that.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for giving us a platform to get out there and talk about the things that we do. You know, we love to be on the other side of it. We always have so much fun doing the interviewing, but we love to get on this side of it and be able to talk and have a platform to be able to do that. And congratulations to you. Your show is fantastic, and we were thrilled to be able to come on and talk about it. And we appreciate everything that you're doing, and best of luck with you, and keep going, man. You're killing it.
Yeah, we're thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much. That really means a lot.
Oh, you're very welcome.
That's the Viewfinder podcast for this week. I'm Chris Hadley. Thank you so much for listening. And thanks again to our guests, Dustin and Logan from Crazy Ant Media. And until next time, please stay safe, everyone.